the Oklahoma City Thunder pull off another comeback win, this time beating the Magic after they grew a 15-point lead in this game. How do the Thunder keep pulling off these comebacks? And SGA is on his track to superstardom. We'll talk about it all coming up on today's Locked On Thunder podcast. On the Locked On Podcast Network, your teams every day.
You are Locked On Thunder, your daily Oklahoma City Thunder podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Let's get it going on the Locked On Thunder podcast, on the Locked On Podcast Network, your teams every day. I am your host, Ryland Styles. You can follow me on Twitter at Ryland underscore Styles. Follow the show on Twitter at LO Thunder Pod. Email the show, LOThunderPod at gmail.com. On today's show, brought to you by LinkedIn. LinkedIn is there for you, helping you find qualified candidates. Just go right now to LinkedIn.com/LockedOn. We're going to dive into the Oklahoma City Thunder pulling off another comeback win, this time against the Orlando Magic. And SGA continues to dominate on both ends of the floor. Josh Giddey returns from injury. Lou Dort hits a dagger three. Alexei Pokuševski deserves a ton of credit. But most importantly, how did the Thunder find a way to win this game and continue their winning streak? Now, four straight games, and the Thunder are above 500 for the first time since 2021. So a lot to get into. As I mentioned before, with the game overview, Josh Giddey is back. Lindy Waters and Chet Holmgren were the only players that were truly inactive, as in like in street clothes. Everyone else was on the bench and dressed. Jalen Williams got the start, his first NBA start. The Thunder roll out SGA, Josh Giddey, Lou Dort, Jalen Williams, and Jeremiah Robinson-Earl as their starting five. However, their five leaders in minutes were SGA, Lou Dort, Pokuševski, Trey Mann, and Josh Giddey. And the Thunder had a tough task today. They were going up against the Magic, who have all this length and all of this size, and you know, are like the Thunder, what they're trying to do, like the Raptors, what they're trying to do. I mean, this Magic starting five, Terrence Ross at 6'6", Franz Wagner at 6'10", Paolo Banchero at 6'10", Wendell Carter Jr. at 6'10", Bol Bol at 7'2". He's every bit of 7'2". Watching him warm up in pregames on the court was just breathtaking. Watching Bol Bol do what he does. That's such fluidity at 7'2" was awesome. But the big story in this one was SGA. He continues his hot streak, named Western Conference Player of the Week, and just starts off his next week with a bang. What SGA did in this game was show you his gravity. And we talk a lot about gravity in the NBA when it comes to shooting, right? How can you change the way defenses are playing their coverage based on how well you can shoot the ball from three? But you saw SGA just be a magnet today. Because when he touched the paint, literally all five of the Magic players also touched the paint. Go watch those SGA drives. Watch how, as the game progressed, if you freeze frame the play, whenever SGA is in the middle of the paint, and you look around him, there are five Magic players who have at least 1 foot in the paint with him. Because he's such an incredible driver. The drive and kick is available to OKC every single time. The Thunder just have to equip him with shooters around him, which they're trying to do. They're trying to do that, one, by drafting Chet Holmgren. I think that Jalen Williams has 3-point upside, and so does Usman Jang, two other guys that you drafted. They also brought in the best shooting coach in the NBA in Chip England this offseason. And, of course, they still have this draft and this offseason to get more shooters as well. But that drive and kick is a tool because of SGA's gravity. Now, remember, you can go look yourself. You know, the NBA box score lets you, you know, watch every shot attempt. Go watch every SGA shot attempt again tonight, you know, and throughout the day. And just freeze frame it whenever he gets into the paint. Everyone is there with him. And with that attention, even with that kind of, you know, focus on him in the paint, SGA only missed three shots inside the arc. Everyone knows it's coming. Everyone knows he's going to drive. Everybody knows he's going to pull up for a tough mid-range contested jumper. And it just works still. Because SGA is reaching superstardom right before our eyes. And you've got another chance on Thursday to go out there and support this team. This is a fun team to watch. And it's led by SGA. You've got your superstar. SGA is him. It's a funny joke that him dunking, the him Kardashian, all that stuff is a funny joke, funny Instagram captions, but it's true. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is a superstar. 34 points, 6 assists, should have had a lot more. But again, the driving kick was there every single time. He passed it to wide-open shooters, and they just so happened to miss. This should have easily been a 10-assist-plus game for him. 34 points, 6 assists, 4 rebounds. Once again, he's locked in defensively. 3 steals, 2 blocks on that defensive end. He absolutely neutralized Franz Wagner in the fourth quarter. And he only had 2 fouls. So when you look at this game, you have your superstar player, the clear and obvious leader, the clear and obvious best player on this roster. You have him setting the tempo and setting the tone defensively of, hey, if I'm engaged, if I'm in the trenches, if I'm playing defense, you should be too. And that's rubbed off on guys like Trey Mann. It's been clear and obvious. But in this game, he's matched up with bigger players every time down the floor. Again, he spent the fourth quarter just torturing Franz Wagner. And yet, even though he was at a size disadvantage, there's only 2 fouls on SGA tonight. He's playing physical. He's playing good defense without fouling. He's using his body, his wingspan, everything to his advantage. He got to the free throw line 11 attempts tonight. He shot 11 free throws. Made 10 of them. Shot 11 free throws. Only missed the one. That was his first miss of the season. At the free throw line at the end of the game, he got MVP chance. SGA said after the game, getting those MVP chance felt like a video game, and that was awesome. Again, 66% shooting. He went 0 for 3 from 3, and then had those 3 misses inside the arc. That was his 6 misses. I think that one of the most important things about SGA, we talked about the gravity that he has as a roller and as a finisher. One of the most important things is his trust in his teammates. It paid off down the stretch. Getting that ball back to Lou Dort for the dagger was huge. Passing it to Poku to take the lead was huge. The trust in the teammates is not just some corny thing that you should observe, right? It's not just some corny saying. What it is him making the right basketball play, even though SGA has the currency to, instead of kicking out to Lou Dort, instead of kicking out to Pokuševski, would anyone be mad at him if he took a step back mid-range shot over 3 people? No, because he's your superstar. He's your guy. He has that currency built up to where, you can live and die with SGA with the ball in his hands. But yet he's still choosing and he's still electing, even with that freedom, to make the right play. And that is how you build winning habits. That is how you have a good culture. That is how you dismiss anyone who says, oh, but these last 2 years might have really impacted the culture. No, it hasn't. It's clear with the way they play defense at a top 10 level. It's clear with the way they don't turn the ball over as a very young team. It's clear in the way that SGA not only still makes the right basketball plays on the offensive end, but is now more engaged than ever on the defensive end. All these things are setting you up with a foundation to build a championship contender on. All of these things contribute to winning habits that everyone was so deathly afraid would go away. They're not going to go away. They're getting stronger. SGA is locked in. He is playing great on both ends of the floor. He's playing great on both ends of the floor, even defensively, playing great. He's engaged, giving effort. He is animated whenever his teammates do well. That pass to Poku for the layup that brought them within 1, and then there's a timeout, and he's hyping up Poku, hyping up at the bench. The shot that he made to take the lead by 1, I believe it was, and he went down the sidelines and starts pumping up the fans and telling them to get on their feet. Like, he is engaged on defense, on offense, off the court, on the court, with the crowd, with the team, in the huddles. He is here. He's in Oklahoma City. They're winning games. He is happy. He is wanting to build this thing up. He's not moping around. The Thunder aren't wasting him. So if anyone still tries to convince you of that, if anyone is still tweeting or writing articles or doing podcasts that, oh, we've got to save SGA. Oh, poor SGA just withering away. Oh, the Thunder are wasting SGA. If anyone is doing that still, what they're telling you isn't that SGA is unhappy. They're telling you they're not watching the Thunder play. They're telling you they themselves haven't watched SGA play. They're telling you that their opinion on this subject does not matter. Does not matter. They are the most ill-informed on the subject. They're telling you, hey, on this specific topic, you can mute the conversation, you can block the person, it doesn't matter. Because the way that SGA is playing on both ends of the floor and how he's doing it, it's not as though he's just accumulating stats. The way that he is scoring and the way that he looks when scoring, his engagement pregame, postgame, in the interview process, everything, is that of a face of the franchise player who wants to be in his organization and wants to get his organization over the hump. And that was clear and obvious in this game. It's been clear and obvious all along, but this game was a great example of it. So if anyone still tries to give you those messages, they're just flat wrong. And they're exposing themselves as being flat wrong. Coming up, we'll talk Josh Giddey's return. We're also going to talk about Pokuševski and how great this win was for the Thunder as a whole and so much more. But first, I want to tell you right now about our good friends over at LinkedIn. Folks, LinkedIn is incredible. You need to go there right now to linkedin.com/LockedOnNBA to post your jobs for free. What LinkedIn does is it helps you find jobs if you're somebody looking for a job, but also if you own a small business, if you own a company, if you're looking in the hiring process yourself in your corporation, it allows you to reach qualified candidates faster than their leading competitors. They are the ones to go to. You can do things such as screening questions to get to know an applicant before you truly agree to interview them. You can do these little like tests, like skill-based tests to see, hey, can you even do the job in practice at all before you get to the interview process? You get a ton of resources to make the right hire when you go to LinkedIn and post your job there. Use the purple hashtag we're hiring frame on your LinkedIn jobs post. Go there right now, linkedin.com/LockedOnNBA. We are back on the Locked On Thunder podcast, on the Locked On Podcast Network, your teams every day. I am your host, media member and editor-in-chief over at thunderousintentions.com, Ryland Styles. You can follow me on Twitter at Ryland_Styles. Follow the show on Twitter at LOThunderPod. Email the show, LOThunderPod@gmail.com. On today's show, we're talking about the Magic comeback win for the Thunder over the Magic. After the show's over, thank you so much for making us your first listen. Subscribe for free across all platforms. You can go check out the Locked On Sports Today podcast for the breakdown of the biggest storylines. So let's talk about Josh Giddey. Josh Giddey is back from the injury. Did not start the second half of this game. Only played 25 minutes. He was staggered between him and SGA. Their minutes were kind of staggered against each other. And Mark said that was kind of a way to boost the secondary unit, which I thought was a good idea. He was much more aggressive as the game went on. And that's expected. Like, we have to remember, number one, SGA and Josh Giddey, I'll keep saying it, have played less than 3,000 possessions together. They don't even have the sample size to even discuss what their fit is or looks like. I'll also remind you to look around the NBA. I think that a lot of times we can get so caught up in the Thunder and so caught up in what the Thunder are doing and how this team is operating and what the timeline is and everything that goes into it. Look at other teams in the league. Primarily look at Boston, right? Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, they had achieved a lot. You know, an Eastern Conference Finals appearance here, a second-round appearance there. And still, there were conversations by legitimate Boston sources and media people and big-time Boston fans and just people around Boston. There were legitimate conversations of, can Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown work together? Can this pairing, can this duo fit? They went to the finals last year after starting slow, after starting terribly last year. There was conversations last year about should you trade Jaylen Brown? Can they coexist? Then they go to the finals, folks. So less than 3,000 possessions isn't even worth talking about, really, for if they can or can't work together. We don't know, but my best guess would be yes that they can. I think that I like the stagger idea between him and SGA. Then not sure with the second half. And the big thing about this game, it wasn't the 7 points or the 10 assists or the steal or the block or the rebound. He shot 25% from the floor. Of course, the big thing is he's kind of nursing back from that ankle injury that's allowed him to miss a week of the season. And he got more aggressive in the second quarter, had a really good third quarter to allow the Thunder to have a counterpunch against the Magic. And we'll see. We'll see what it looks like on Thursday against the Nuggets. We'll see what that looks like. Now, Lu Dort. This was a bit of a mixed bag game from Lu Dort. I think that the box score is not as representative of how good he was. There were some bad moments, right? He just still did not shoot the ball very well at all. He had some bad drives where kind of reverted to some of those old habits of kind of aimlessly driving to the rim and not having that crisp decision-making that we have seen so far this year. I will point out, we've still seen more good games this year from him as a driver and a decision-maker in the paint than bad, still. Now, that's just this year, not in his entire career, but just this year. We've seen better from him. But he did hit the dagger three, and he does show you that confidence to snap and clear a bad possession and move on to the next one. He hit the dagger three, and against a tough, lengthy Orlando matchup, he had to guard Paolo Banchero for a lot of the night. And Paolo finishes with 15 points on 46% shooting. I believe that this is the first time in his career, Paolo, that he's been held under 20 points. He had been on a great streak of scoring 20 points. He had 15 in this one on 46% shooting. So Lu Dort did a really good job overall. Just nothing in that box score is going to leap out at you. I want to talk about the rookies before we get into Poku and get into how the Thunder won this game. So Jalen Williams, first start of his career, 21 minutes played, one rebound, two assists, 6 points. It wasn't falling for him tonight. It was a tough night in terms of, again, the box score and like trying to accumulate stats to make your resume look good. But overall, I was very impressed with how active Jalen Williams was as a cutter, playing his role offensively and defensively, especially having to navigate playing with a mask. That is very much more difficult than he gets credit for. It's not just a cool-looking accessory. Like it's tough. It's an adjustment period to play with a mask. And, of course, the natural jitters of having your first-ever start and having that spotlight on you. He was the player that was interviewed pregame for us in the media. You know, that's kind of a different routine to go to the radio interview, the TV interview, the big interview room, then go back to your pregame routine, plus being a starter, right, getting announced in the starting lineup. All that stuff is just so different. But he did have some good moments. They just didn't and weren't represented in the box score. Usman Jang, 17 points, 17 minutes, 8 points, 2 assists, 4 rebounds. He was 2 for 3 from 3, but he was 3 for 3 inside the arc. He's been practicing with the blue. He was recalled 2 days ago, I believe it was. They've been bouncing him around with the blue. He's practiced with them a lot. He played with the Thunder tonight. He has shown a lot of flashes of a high-end two-way player, of a guy who can play at least good on both ends, right? If you look at that scale of below average, you know, poor, and then average, above average, good, great, I think that he can at least be good on both ends of the floor. And then anything more than that, of course, would just be incredible. But he's shown flashes of a guy that can be good on both ends of the floor. Usman Jang has. I've been very happy with this rookie class for the Thunder, and it's been a fun rookie class across the NBA, Paolo Banchero being one of them. It was fun to watch him warm up and watch him play in this game, and it was fun to see how Lu Dort handled the test of yet another challenge, as he put it, after the game, but also another diverse challenge, right? Guarding guards, guarding point forwards like Luka, guarding big men like Paolo Banchero, who also has some guard tendencies into his repertoire. So it was just awesome to see kind of how Dort handled that on the defensive end and how the Thunder managed it even whenever Dort was not on the floor. Like Jeremiah Robinson-Earl had a huge second half on Paolo, you know, allowing the Thunder to take some pressure off of Lu Dort and slide everything up into more of a natural fit defensively, allowing J-Rob to take Paolo. So it was awesome to see this team play. I want to talk Poku and then also talk about the game as a whole and how the Thunder won this game coming up. We are back on the Lockdown Thunder podcast, on the Lockdown Podcast Network, your teams every day. I am your host, Rylan Styles. You can follow me on Twitter at Rylan_Styles. Follow the show on Twitter at LOThunderPod. Email the show, LOThunderPod@gmail.com. Thank you so much for making Locked On Thunder your first listen every single morning, every single day. We're here for you talking Thunder basketball. For your second listen, go check out the Locked On Sports Today podcast, which is breaking down all the biggest storylines of every single sport across the nation. Peter Bukowski does a great job there, taking you beyond the box score and behind the scenes over there at Locked On Sports Today. In 30 minutes or less, you have your briefing on what's happened around every league. Pokuševski, man, he was good. He was good. I believe that he was the Bally Sports Player of the Game, like the little sideline interview with Paris and Nick. I believe that he was that player of the game. Of course, I was watching in the arena, so I couldn't really tell, but I think he was. He deserved it. 31 minutes played, 16 points, 9 rebounds, an assist, 2 steals, 3 blocks, 53% shooting from the floor, 2 for 5 from 3, including the 3 to take the lead. He's comfortable. He looks noticeably more comfortable. In this game, he rose to the challenge and brought the physicality that was necessary to play in this one. He's confident, right? Like that is showing in a positive way now, right? Because he's allowing himself to not overextend himself, not play outside of himself. And I've explained it this way before, and I'd be interested to know if like this is true or not. But in my opinion, it looks as though before he was trying to prove himself, trying to prove I am a unicorn, I am this all-star player. Now he's just trying to prove, hey, I'm a good basketball player. Like I'm an NBA player. And taking that pressure off himself of not trying to be a unicorn and just trying to do his job, I think has really helped him. I think that is how you see he's so comfortable. With that comfortability comes the confidence that we've already seen from him throughout his entire NBA career. But the confidence factor being, look, you know, I'm not shooting the ball great. You know what? I was 1 for 4 leading up to that go-ahead 3, but I'm still going to take this one. I'm still going to take this 3 because I'm wide open. It's the right play to make. And that's perfectly fine. It's perfectly fine to take the 3 whenever it's open and then there for you. You want your players to keep shooting. You want your guys to keep going. And as I mentioned before, the team chemistry just seems on cloud 9 from all aspects. SGA gets a ton of credit for it, but it's everybody. You know, whenever they passed Poku that ball, you know, right around the break of the 3-point line to take the lead, everyone is going, shoot, you know, shoot the ball on the court. And he did it. And, you know, they believed him to shoot the ball. You know, I think it was Wiggins who was already walking back on defense. He knew the shot was going to go in. You know, like, it was a big-time moment for this team. And they feed off of that energy from each other. And it's just great to see. But, yeah, Poku looked really good. Brought more physicality, looked more confident, and just looked steady. Just looked comfortable in his role. It was fun watching these two teams play. Like, I really, like, not even as, like, a Thunder fan or media member, I really wish that this game could have stayed on TNT instead of the Nets and the Bulls, because this was a fun game to watch. I think that NBA fans in general, if it was put in front of them on their plate, would have looked at it, tried it, and then realized, hey, this is actually a really fun matchup. Even pregame, like, watching Paolo warm up, he is just huge. Like, Paolo Banchero was huge. He was studying film on the sidelines for, like, 15 minutes. His warm-up routine was awesome to see. He also signed autographs after he's warming up and when he's going back in the locker room, like for multiple Thunder fans. And there was actually a pretty nice smattering of Magic fans there too at the game today, which was kind of wild. I didn't know that the Magic had a little stronghold in Oklahoma City. Bobo, as I mentioned before, dude, Bobo, 7'2". Like, he's every bit of 7'2". But watching the way that he just glides around the court, especially whenever there's no defenders and you're just playing on air, it is eye-opening to see him play. And this game just felt normal, right? It felt like everybody in the timeline, everybody in the arena, everybody from top to bottom was rooting for this team to win a game without any complications, without any, you know, pretzeling of your mind, like, just win. Everyone was rooting on them to win. And the Thunder have that luxury because, you know, no matter where your pick lands in this year's draft, you're going to bring in a guy who people said is generational. You're going to bring in Chet Holmgren when the season's over with. So no matter where your pick lands in this very deep draft class, it's okay to root for a win and root for this team. And I truly believe that you should go pack the Paycom Center and support this team. And I would tell you if you shouldn't, I would tell you if this team is not worth watching. This team is worth watching. This team is worth going and seeing. So get out there Thursday, get out there next week, whenever you can. This team is worth your time. Because as I mentioned before, they're never out of a game. they have so many players that no matter what point of the game it is, you know, first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, big lead, small lead, behind in the game, there's going to be players on the floor that you truly care about and are invested in. And you get to watch this team evolve and grow into what? Who knows? This team could be a playoff team, a play-in team. This team could be in the lottery again this year. This team could be, you know, a bottom five team in the NBA this year. Who knows? But no matter where they finish record-wise, wins, losses, and standings, this team is clearly going in the right direction and clearly going to be a contender sooner than later because of the way that these things are progressing. So allow yourself to go and support the Thunder this year. I mean, what a fun game this was. The Thunder win 116-108. They were once down 15. The Thunder held a 10-point lead at one point in this game also. Five times tied, six lead changes. The Magic did win the rebounding battle 55-47. The Thunder had eight more assists than Orlando. The Thunder defense forced 24 turnovers. Again, this young defense forced 24 turnovers. Now, the Magic are playing without a true guard outside of Jalen Suggs. And I would count RJ Hampton as kind of a guard even. But outside of Suggs, there's no true guard, so that plays into it as well. But the Thunder are just legitimately long and lengthy and good at playing the passing lanes. The Thunder only had 15 turnovers offensively. They had two more fast break points than Orlando. The Thunder had two more points in the paint as well. The Magic won second chance points 21-14. The Thunder had 30 points off turnovers. The Thunder had 30 points off turnovers. Wendell Carter Jr. was awesome. Wendell Carter Jr. was just incredible. 30 points, 12 rebounds, 2 assists. Watching him in SGA was fun to see. The Magic had 4 in double figures. The Thunder had 5. OKC shot 47% from the floor, but just 29% from 3. That has to improve, of course. 80% at the line. The Thunder saw the Magic shoot 44% from the floor, 34% from the 3-point line, and 100% at the free throw line. The bet of the day. Thunder minus 3.5. The Thunder moved to 6-0-1 against the spread. They had that push against Minnesota when it was a 10.5-point spread. But other than that, they're unbeaten against the spread. Great for OKC to continue. This is their first time being favored, so they're 1-0 as favorites, according to Vegas. MVP of the game, of course, I can go to Shea every single time, so we'll say Shea and Pokuševski. Up next, you're going to have Stockwatch, a recap of Blue Media Day, and SGA winning Player of the Week means a lot for the Thunder. That's coming up later on today. Thursday, we'll have a mailbag episode. Friday, you'll see a Nuggets episode. Sunday, the Bucks episode of the Bucks recap for Saturday's game. Monday, a college basketball preview with our good friend at Mavs Draft on Twitter, Richard Stamen. Tuesday, Pistons recap episode. Wednesday, where does this team stand 3 weeks in? What does their future look like as a whole? Thursday of next week, another Bucks recap. We play the Bucks again. Get those two games out of the way early this time around. And then Friday, a rookie class check-in. So I think that this rookie class is very fun to follow along. So thank you for following along with Locked On Thunder. Subscribe anywhere you get your podcast from. And until tomorrow, be good and be good to one another.